بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his pure family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the discussion of the meaning, explaining the meanings of Allah's most beautiful names. And we have reached the following names, the 75th and the 76th name. These names are as follows: Al-Hafiz and Al-Hafiz, means the one who preserves all things. He preserves all creatures, guiding them to what he has preordained for them. He created the means that support their livelihood, and he guided them to exploit such means, making clear to them what is good, lawful, evil, and unlawful. Nothing is excluded from his preservation, not even a thing of the weight of an ant. The one who preserves what his slaves do of good and evil, his knowledge encompasses all what they do, their intentions and their manifested deeds, their inward and outward, all is recorded in the book of records, known as the preserved tablet, and he will reward them accordingly. The one who preserves his friends from fitna, from affliction, the degree of his preservation depends on the degree of their compliance with Allah's religion, with Allah's deen, the highest of which is the belief in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah, in himself, in his attributes, and in his actions, and what that entails. The person who guards this principle of Tawheed, oneness and uniqueness of Allah in this life, Allah promised to let him enter his paradise and protect him from the torment on the day of resurrection. Now comes the name Al-Maqit, the 77th name, and this is in the following chapter in Surah An-Nisa 485. Al-Maqit, the one who is ever all able to do and all witness to everything, the one who preserves all things and knows all states and conditions of his creatures. He gives every existing being its provisions in accordance with his wisdom. This is the name Al-Maqit. The 78th name, Ar-Raqib, and this came in other places, 4:1, and in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:52. Ar-Raqib, the one who is an ever watcher over his creatures, of whom nothing is hidden, the one who is not negligent nor careless regarding their deeds. He knows, keeps records of and witnesses all of their works, their thoughts, the fraud of their eyes, and all that their breasts conceal. The one who preserves, observes, and has perfectly ordered everything. The 79th name, Al-Hadi, as in Surah Al-Furqan, and in 22:54. Al-Hadi, the one who guides those who believed in him and in his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the truth and to the right path. The one who has guided his creatures to know of him and of his lordship, that the attributes of creating, commanding, and the disposing of all affairs belongs exclusively to him. the one who guides whom he wishes to the believe in his oneness in accordance with his foreknowledge and wisdom. Allah is Al-Hadi, who guides his creatures to what is beneficial to them and warns them against all that which is harmful. He teaches them that which he or which they knew not. He guides them to the way of righteousness and makes their hearts turn to him, submitting to his command. The 80th name and the 81st name, Al-Hasib and Al-Hasib, you find that in 4, 6 and 662 and in other places as well. Allah is Al-Hasib and Al-Hasib, who is enough to dispose all affairs, for he is the creator who decreed and created everything in exact measures and due proportions. He is the creator of the means which produces sufficiency. Allah is the one who is enough for the newborn, because he is the creator of his mother. Enough is he for a witness, and enough is he for those who depend upon him and put their trust in him. Allah is Al-Hasib and Al-Hasib, who is all aware, all acquainted and all knowing, who is ever a careful, account taker of all things, and who is the swiftest in taking account. Enough is he to call men to account, and sufficient is he for reckoning. As-Sadiq, the 82nd name, As-Sadiq, and 6, 146 and 15, 64, which means the truthful. It means the truthful. And the 83rd name, Al-Warith, as in 15, 23 and other places. Al-Warith, the one who inherits the earth and whatsoever thereon. They all shall be returned to him. Everything will perish save Allah Al-Warith, who will ever continue to exist, and the one who is ever living. Allah is Al-Warith, who inherited the towns, the populations which were thankless for its means of livelihood, and who disobeyed Allah and his messengers by doing evil deeds and crimes. Allah destroyed them, and their dwellings have not been inhabited after them except a little. They remain as a lesson for those who contemplate. Knowing that our wealth will return to Allah, the one who inherits everything, he calls upon us to spend it in the lawful ways which he has detailed. The 84th name, Al-Musta'an, as in 12, 18 and other places. Al-Musta'an, the one whose help is sought in executing obedience and in the abandonment of disobedience. He assists and helps, while he neither seeks help nor assistance. He neither needs aids nor associates. All creatures are in need of Allah. Enough is he as a protector against all kinds of evil. The best invocation is to ask Allah's help in order to attain his pleasure. Seeking Allah's help comprises two matters: trust in and dependence upon him, the exalted. All of these names that you have heard, so far 84 names, all of them came in the single construct. All of them came in the single construct in the Quran. Now we're going to talk about the 85th name, and this will be from the group with names in conjunctive constructs, meaning related names, the related names. These are names of Allah that come in a conjunctive construct, and they are part of the most beautiful names of Allah. For example, Allah's name Ar-Rabb, the Lord, always comes related to other words in the verses of the Quran. We read in Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter in the Quran, we read Rabbul Alameen, Rabbul Alameen, meaning the Lord of creation, the Lord of creation. So it is added. This is called mudaf. This is in the conjunctive constructs, and they are shortly called related names. Also, Maliki Yawmiddin. Malik. It's related to Yawmiddin in a conjunctive format, which means the only owner and the only ruling judge of the day of resurrection. So, Ar-Rabb is one of these names. Allah is the Rabb, the Lord. He gives all things the power to grow, to move, and to change, and to whom belongs the creation and commandment. The Master, who has no equal in his sovereignty, predominance, and highness. The one who provides, sustains, owns, cherishes, organizes all that existing. Lordship, which is known as Rububiyya, is an infinitive noun of Ar-Rabb, is an infinitive noun of Ar-Rabb, of the Lord. Al-Malik, which means the only owner, is another name, and it is in Surah Al-Fatiha, verse 4. Also in Surah Al-An'am, in 3:26. And we discussed that meaning earlier. Now we go to the 86th name, An-Nur. An-Nur, which means the light. The light, as in Surah An-Nur 24:35. An-Nur is one of Allah's names derived from His Nur. This is very important. An-Nur is one, the light means, is one of Allah's names derived from His Nur, derived from His Nur, from His light, which is an attribute established with His Self, which is an attribute established with His Self, with His essence. Allah, the Most Mighty and Most Magnificent, says, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah is the light, the Nur of the heavens and the earth. In this verse, in this verse's construct, Allah's Nur is related in Arabic, in the grammar, في النحو, is related, meaning it is mudaf to السماوات والأرض. It is related to the heavens and the earth in this conjunctive construct. Some had interpreted this verse such that Allah is the one who illuminates, munawwir, the heavens and the earth and guides their inhabitants. This is from His actions. This is very important. This is from Allah's actions. Okay? Otherwise, it doesn't preclude the fact that the Nur, which is one of His attributes, is established with Allah, with His Self. It is common for the Salaf, for the righteous predecessors, Rahimahumullah, may Allah's mercy be upon them, to mention the meanings of the attributes pertaining to names, or, underline this, or some of it. By mentioning some of the meanings, they don't negate the other affirmed qualities of such names. As such, one of the meanings signified by Allah being An-Nur, being the light of the heavens and the earth, is that He has illuminated the heavens and the earth and guided their inhabitants by His light. By His light. Light established with certain entities like the sun are referred to as, quote, the light of Allah, Nurullah, established with Allah. These are created lights, completely separate from Allah the Most High. These, the sun and the moon, illuminate part of the earth. Okay, now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon starting the night prayers, which is tahajjud, upon starting the night prayers by saying, لَكَ الْحَمْدُ أَنْتَ نُورُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In the agreed upon hadith, the Prophet ﷺ used to start the night prayer by invoking Allah, saying, all praise is due to you, to you. You are the light. You are the light of the heavens and the earth. Now, secondly, the texts from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah relate An-Nur to Allah according to the following angles. A. Can we follow those, inshallah, Sister Umm Ahmed? The text from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah relate An-Nur to Allah according to the following angles. A. That Allah has a nur, has a light related to Him as an attribute of His essence, the same as the other attributes of life, sight, knowledge, might, and so forth. Allah most majestic and most magnificent says, وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا, and the earth will shine with the light of its Rabb, light of its Rabb, light of its Lord. And this, you know, refers to Allah when He will come on the day of resurrection to judge among men, as in 39:69. And if the earth will shine with His light, then He subhanahu wa ta'ala is a nur, light, as stated by His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the light of the heavens and the earth. Grammatically, the light which is related and next to Allah in the construct of this verse, which means and the earth will shine with the light of its Lord, is not an annexation denoting possession, creation, honor, or preferment, as it is the case in the verses of the Noble Quran, including Bayti, my house, mentioned in the verse that they, Ibrahim and Ismail, may purify my house, that is the Kaaba, for those who circle it or stay or bow or prostrate themselves. That is an addition of honor. The house, adding it to Allah, relating it to Allah, is relating a creature to Allah, and when that occurs, this is in the form of honor, honoring this creature. Also, like for example, Naqatullah, Allah's she camel. Alright, now, so the first thing therefore to remember is that, as pointed here, that Allah has a light related to His essence, and it is an attribute of His essence, the same as the other attributes. And this is different from those creatures that are annexed or related in some verses or through the Sunnah to the majestic name Allah, and that is an addition of honor. B. That An-Nur relates to His most honorable and majestic face. B. That the Nur, the light, relates to His most honorable and majestic face. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the known learned scholars of Islam and a companion, of course, of the Prophet ﷺ, said, نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِن نُورِ وَجْهِهِ, the light of the heavens and the earth is from the light of His face. This is reported by At-Tabarani and Ad-Darimi and Al-Haythami, and amongst its narrators is Abu Abd Salam Az-Zubayr. Ibn Abi Hatim and Ibn Ma'in didn't mention anything regarding the status of this narrator, whether he is weak or trustworthy transmitter or otherwise. Ibn Hibban, however, mentioned him in his book Al-Thiqat, the Trustworthy Men of Hadith, and Al-Haythami related that Abu Hatim, meaning Al-Razi, described Abu Abd Salam, this person, as majhul, unknown. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah reported this narration and said, quote, it is affirmed upon the authority of Ibn Mas'ud. He also mentioned it in other parts of his fatawa, and Allah knows best. See, Allah's nur is also related to the heavens and the earth. See, Allah's nur, Allah's light, is also related to the heavens and the earth, as in Allah saying, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light, nur, of the heavens and the earth. And there is no contradiction between the interpretation that this verse means that Allah the Most High is the munawwir, the illuminator of the heavens and the earth and all that's between, and the saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, which we related earlier, in which the nur is related to Allah's that essence. The interpretation that Allah is the munawwir, the one who illuminates or the one who guides the heavens and the earth, is true, because لأنها من إضافة الفعل إلى فاعله. It is because it relates the act of illumination to Allah the Most Magnificent. And there is no contradiction whether one says that Allah is the nur of the heavens and the earth بذاته, meaning by His essence, or بفعله, by His act. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, quote, the truth is that Allah is the nur, the light of the heavens and the earth, taking into consideration all of the interpretations. Being the munawwir, the one who illuminates, and the hadi, the one who guides, does not negate the fact that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, himself is nur, is light. Those who negate Allah's attribute of an-nur, the light, erred, committed wrong, by thinking that if they would affirm the attribute of the light, it would mean that Allah is the light falling upon walls and gardens, etc. The fact, however, is that the created light is an effect of the attribute of Allah, the light, An-Nur. We know that Ar-Rahmah, mercy, is an attribute of Allah established with Him. The Rahmah, mercy, present on earth, is an effect of Allah's attribute of Ar-Rahmah, separated from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of the creature is a distinct and separate effect of Allah's attribute of knowledge. The saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, narrated earlier, does not mean or imply that the light on walls or on the surface of the earth is the essence of the light of Allah's most honorable face. The end of Imam Ibn Qayyim's comment. D. Light is Allah's hijab, is Allah's veil. The Prophet ﷺ said, light is his hijab. Light is his hijab, is his veil. If he uncovers it, then the subuhat, then the brightness, the splendor, the majesty and greatness of his face would burn his creation so far as his sight reaches. In another narration, instead of the word light, it is fire, due to the doubt of a narrator by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari's name, one of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And it is reported in Muslim by Ahmad and others. Both narrations stating the light and fire are present in Sahih Muslim. Now the pure fire, quote unquote, which Allah mentioned in the Quran when He spoke to Musa, to Moses, as in 27:7-8, is also called a light, and it is a light which illuminates without burning. Allah also called the fire of the lamp a light, as in 24:35. Contrary to the dark fire of hell, which is not called a light. Therefore, the doubt of the narrator between the words light and fire does not prevent from affirming that the light is Allah's veil, hijab. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, quote, there are three kinds of a created light. There are three kinds of created light. The first is characterized by ishraq bila ihraq, illumination but without burning. This is the first kind. And this is the, quote, pure light, like the light of the moon. The second light, the second kind, burns without illumination. Burns without illumination. And this is the dark fire, a black burning fire. The third being a light and a fire. The third being a light and a fire, like the sun. Also, the fire of the lamps in this world is described by being both a light and a fire. End of Ibn Taymiyyah's words. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim added, quote, this is the case with the created. This is the case with the created and witnessed lights. The hijab of Ar-Rabb Allah, the veil of Allah, most blessed and most high, is a nur, is a light, and it is a fire. All of the three kinds of the created lights are real, relative to their proper classification. And if the light of his creation, like that of the sun, the moon, and fire, are real, then how could his light be not real? The light of his face is real too, and fits his majesty, and it is not figurative. Please underline this. It is not figurative. The cases of these mentioned angles represent the cases in which the sifa, the attribute of an-nur, of the light, has been related to the mawsuf, which is being described, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah classified them. The second angle is the idafa, relating of the maf'ul, of the object, to its fa'il, to its active subject. The second angle is the relating of the object to its active subject. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, quote, this is mentioned in the saying of Allah the Most High, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٌ الْمِصْبَاحُ فِي زُجَاجَةٍ الزُجَاجَةُ كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ دُرِّي يُوقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ زَيْتُونَةٍ لَا شَرْقِيَّةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَّةٍ يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٌ نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٍ يَهْدِي اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. The parable, alaykum as-salam, in 24:35, the parable of his light, is as if there were a maish, and within it is a lamp, and the lamp is in a glass, and the glass as it were a brilliant star lit from a blessed tree, an olive, neither of the east, meaning it doesn't get sun rays only in the morning, nor of the west, nor it gets sun rays only in the afternoon, but it is exposed to the sun all day long, whose oil would almost glow forth, meaning of itself, though no fire touched it. Light upon light, Allah guides to his light whom he wills, and Allah sets parables for mankind, and Allah is the all-knower of everything. It means the parable of Allah's light in the heart of his believing slave. The one having the greatest share of this light is Allah's messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This light relates to Allah being the one who grants it to and bestows it upon his slave. It is also related to the slave. Why? Since he is its place, mahalluhu, and favorable recipient. This light has a fa'il, this light has a fa'il, active subject, a qabil, a recipient, a mahal, a place, hamil, carrier, and substance. This ayah that you see in the text which was recited earlier comprises all of these matters in detail. The fa'il, the one who does this, is Allah Most High, the one who makes the light to abound, who guides to his light whom he wills. The favorable recipient, al-qabil, is the believing slave. The place of reception, mahal al-qubul, is the believer's heart. The hamil, the carrier, is his motivation, determination, and will. The madda, the substance, is his sayings and actions. The light which Allah put in the heart of the submitting Muslim is faith in him, knowledge and love of him, and remembrance of him. It is his light, the Quran, which he brought down, the origin of which is in the hearts of the Muslims. Its substance strengthens and increases until it appears on their faces, their limbs and their bodies, even on their clothes and in their homes. On the day of resurrection, this light emerges and runs forward before them. Allah states, as in 66:8, نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم, the believer's light will run forward before them amidst the darkness of the bridge, the Sirat. The bridge, what is the bridge? Which is called the Sirat. The Sirat, the bridge over the midst of hell. It is extremely slippery. On it there are hooks, clouds, and bars. Over it mankind will pass. The believers, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, will pass like the blink of an eye, like the lightning, like the wind, like the birds, and like the fast horses and camels. Some will be saved, some will be lacerated then set free, and some will be thrown into the fire of hell. The hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. So, on the day of resurrection, this light emerges and runs forward before them amidst the darkness of the bridge until they cross over it. The intensity of their lights on the bridge will correspond to the intensity, strong or weak, of the respective lights in their hearts in this life. The similitude of this light and its place, its carrier, and its substance is as a niche, N-I-C-H-E, which is like the chest of the believer. Inside this niche there is a glass from the most crisp and clear kind. In the verse, it is even made to resemble brilliant star in its clarity and purity. This glass resembles the heart, al-mahal, the place. It resembles the heart. The similitude to the glass is because it embodies qualities present in the heart of the believer: clarity, smoothness, and firmness. It sees the truth by virtue of its clarity. Kindness and mercy and affection originate from it because of its smoothness. It stands firm in holding to the truth, and it makes jihad, striving in Allah's cause against the enemies of Allah, due to the firmness in its structure. In contrast with this enlightened heart, there are two other opposing and blameworthy hearts. One of them is a stone-like, harsh, merciless, lacks beneficence, reverence, and the clarity by which it can see the truth. In fact, it is an ignorant and a tyrant heart. It is neither aware of Allah, the truth, nor it is merciful to the creation. Opposite to it is a weak, watery, neither firm nor strong, and everything good, evil, wicked, etc. that mixes with it affects it in its own way. In the glass there is a lamp, and it is the light and nur that is in the wick. The wick in the lamp is the light carrier, and the substance of the light is the olive oil extracted from the olives of a tree growing in the most suitable place by being exposed to the sun rays all day long. Its oil is from the purest of its kind, clear without turbidity, to the degree that it will almost grow forth of itself. As such is the substance of the believing heart. It is from the quote tree, end of quote, of revelation. It is the greatest blessed thing and most distant from deviation. Indeed, it is the most just, intermediate, and best of all matters. Alaykum as-salam. It did not deviate like the deviation of the Christianity and Judaism. In all things, it bound to a medium course between these two blameworthy extremes. Since the clarity of this oil is so intense, such that it almost glows by itself, and then upon mixing with fire, its illumination as well as that of the fire substance of light intensifies, then this becomes light upon light. So is the believer. His heart is lit such that he almost knows the truth by means of his natural inclination and intellect. His heart, however, has no substance within itself. But when the substance of the revelation touches his heart, and the latter rejoices in its company, its light of natural disposition increases by the light of revelation, and the light of revelation adds up to that of natural disposition, and it becomes a light upon light. Revelation and fitra. Revelation and natural disposition. So the believer would almost speak the truth, even though he may have not heard an evidence. He later hears of the evidence to be identical to what has been attested by his own natural disposition, by the fitrah. Thus it is being a light upon light. This is the status of the believer. He acknowledges the truth in general by means of his fitrah, of his natural disposition. He then hears of the textual proofs and the authentic traditions presenting what he has acknowledged, but in details. His faith, therefore, stems from the attestation of wahi, revelation, and fitrah, natural disposition. These were the words of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in explaining this beautiful verse 24:35. Rarely you can find something like this, rahimahullah. Back to the statement where when we talked about the substance of the believing heart, it is from the tree. You know, the olive tree came in the text, in the parable. It is from the quote tree of revelation. Okay. What Allah reveals in His books, revelation meaning, and or inspires to His messengers, this constitutes called the tree. The strengthening of its roots and the heart of the believer depends upon his compliance with its content. That's why there is a variation amongst the degree of faith amongst Muslims. Some are stronger than others in their adherence to the teachings of Islam. There are the obedient and the disobedient Muslims. There are the obedient and disobedient Muslims. Those who mix the substance with ways not condoned by Islam became corrupt, or were led astray. If they don't repent and clean their hearts and follow the way of revelation, they may subject themselves to the punishment of Allah, which may manifest itself in different ways on the individual and or the society levels at large. When the way of uncontrolled lusts and desires takes over the heart of man, he will turn away from the revelation and may choose for himself ways of quote worship or quote religions that ascribe best to his desires. The goal becomes the life of this world only, turning man to forget as to what occurs after death. He is overwhelmed by the quote development, end of quote, taking place around him in all walks of life, and wants to keep caught on track, life turns to drug stores, asking for pills to ease down the rush, or to therapeutic clinics to quote relief the worry and the sad heart, or to suicide, sometimes taking others with them. The 87th name of Allah is Al-Ghafir, the one who forgives, as in Surah Ghafir 40 verse 3. Allah most majestic and high is the one who covers and forgives the sins, crimes, offenses of his slaves. He does not expose their vices, faults, or evil qualities or actions. The name, 88th name, is Al-Muhyi. Al-Muhyi, the one who is able to give life. This is in Surah 41, Fussilat 39, and in Surah Ar-Rum 30, 50. The 89th name is Al-Alim, the All-Knower, the All-Knower, as in Surah Fatir 35, 38. And also the 90th name is Al-Allam, Al-Allam, the one who with full knowledge, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5, 109, and also Surah Saba 34, 48. Now the one whose ilm, knowledge, comprehends all things, the covert thereof and the overt, the small thereof and the great, the concealed and the revealed, the possible and impossible, the lofty sphere and the lower one, the past, present and the future, whoever has known and ever will know what has been and what will be, from whom nothing is concealed in the earth nor in the heavens. The 91st name is Al-Badi', the originator, in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, 117, and also in Surah Al-An'am 101. The one who originated everything and brought it into existence newly for the first time in the most perfected way, not having been or existed before, and not after the similitude of anything pre-existing. The one who originated the creation according to his own will, not after any similitude, and the one who has no likeness unto him, nor an associate or a son. The 92nd name, Fatir, as in Surah Fatir 35:1. The one who created, originated, and brought the heavens and the earth into existence newly for the first time. He is the one who originated the creation from nothing. They are in need of him, and to him alone they are called to submit. The Prophet ﷺ used to magnify and praise Allah the Most High by invoking him by his name. كان إذا قام من الليل افتتح صلاته اللهم رب جبرائيل اللهم رب جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. Reported by Muslim. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, got up at night, he would commence his prayer with these words, saying, O Allah, the Lord of Jibreel, of Gabriel, and Mikael, and Israfil, Fatir al-Samawati wal-Ard, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who knows al-Ghayb, the unseen, and al-Shahada, the world of perceived and unperceived realities, you decide amongst your servants concerning their differences. Guide me with your permission in the divergent views which the people hold about truth, for it is you who guides whom you will to the straight path. And this is reported by Muslims.